Today on Real Radio.
He went to the cross. He had a date with the cross. The prophets foretold that he would come and do this very thing. And Jesus lived out the example of truth, of what real love is. And it's exactly what you want. It's exactly what you need.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, so far we've learned that there are at least two fundamental threads that weave through this epistle. First one, divine love. And the second, avoiding deception. Now don't forget, John often referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, now we're learning even more about the depth of that godly love. If we are true disciples of the Messiah, then we are to be willing to lay down our lives for fellow believers. Sounds like a pretty tall order to me, but not in the greater context of being one of his followers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from 1 John and part of chapter 3. It's called Knowing Real Love.
The day is coming, and can you state it? A reason for the hope that lies within you. Can you stand up and say, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ because I know that he loved me and died for my sins. And by the way, Mr. So-and-so with your machine gun just about ready to mow me down loves you too. There's a hatred against God in our country that has probably never been as it is now. And that hatred is intensifying even against the Christian. Of course, the closer we draw to Jesus, the more hatred we're going to draw. But he says this in verse 16, by this we know love. It's an experiential knowledge. We know it by working with it. We've visually seen it. We've touched it. It's a love that works. It's a love where an old man and a young child, you see them get together. They talk about God. I remember with Ashton and Ken, senior fellows of our church here. Now they've gone home to be with the Lord. You know, the youth love to sit around and talk to these old guys. What brought them together? Jesus Christ, the love of God. This truth that brought them together was that God loved them. This common knowledge of that. We're to be living a redemptive life, and that we have a message to tell people. And that message is Jesus laid down his life. In our living room right now, we have on the coffee table a nativity scene. And it has all the little animals gathered around there, and it has the wise men, and they're bowing down as a little baby in that trough. About whom or about what? This little baby who came into the world to set men free from their sins. God come into the world to save us. John says, we've touched him. We've handled him. We've experienced him. We've seen him. So we are to be living a redemptive life, in that we have the message. We know what the truth is. The second thing that we see here is that we have an example of that truth. And that is, it says in verse 16, that he laid down his life for us. You know, Jesus wasn't wrestled down to the cross. You know that? He didn't cry out. It was as though the prophet said, Isaiah chapters 53, 54. Read Isaiah chapter 50 all the way to 54 about Christ. 743 years before he was born. Jesus didn't fight the cross. He went to the cross. He had a date with the cross. It wasn't the death of some reluctant Messiah. There's a book written about this, how Jesus got caught up into the fervor of the people. Oh, that's ridiculous. The prophets foretold that he would come and do this very thing. And Jesus lived out the example of truth, of what real love is. And it's exactly what you want. It's exactly what you need. People's lives are broken. You know, I'm certain that the news that I hear these days is because I'm getting older, but I can't help but believe it's also because the days are getting more evil. You know what I mean by what I just said? As you get older, you hear about people dying. As you get older, you hear about people getting sick. You know, it seems like maybe we've heard about it all of our lives, but when we were young, we didn't listen. But have you noticed, it's just, I don't want to be a party pooper. But it seems like there's a lot of bad news going around. It seems like there's a lot of pain happening. Jesus laid down his life. He did it gladly. He wasn't a masochist. He gladly laid down his life because of the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Yes, despising its shame, the cross was miserable. You know, today we have the cross, and it's more jewelry than anything. But can you imagine today if we had a sale at our bookstore? We had a sale on little gold or silver or platinum electric chairs. Yeah, you can hang it around your neck. Oh my, that's a nice electric chair you have around your neck. Christians didn't walk around in the first century with crosses around their neck. Hey, praise the Lord, brother. The cross was a Roman symbol. It was Rome's gas chamber. It was Rome's electric chair. It was an implement of shame. Jesus went to that cross, that example he did for us. What is your most shameful act? What have you done in secret? I tell you, I don't know. Maybe all of you are Christians in here. I hope so. If you're not, maybe this will motivate you to become one in about 30 seconds. But Jesus said, that which has been done or said in secret, and the end shall be shouted from the housetop. Yeah, think about that. Well, you all must be Christians, because if you weren't, there'd be a stampede running forward right now. Think about it. The most secret thing, private. You thought nobody was watching, or nobody was listening, or nobody was recording, or nobody was, you know... God was there. Jesus went to the cross for that. I tell you, the debt was paid, but in your life privately, unless you cash in on it, it's suspended over your head, that guilt, that sin. Charles Spurgeon talks about in one of his books, the Christian having a checkbook, that God has paid all the debts, he's paid all of the price. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? All of it. You know, those of you who have studied how to buy a computer know Greek. And you type into your computer the Greek definition of all. And you know what it means? It means all. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sin. Secondly, or thirdly, I should say, we're to live a redemptive life in that we know what to do with the truth. And what do we mean by that? Verse 16, it says, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that sounds kind of sadistic. That sounds kind of perilous. Are you ready for this? He is not so much teaching us to physically lay down our life for someone, though certainly it's implied. Are you ready? What he's talking about is more difficult. Are you ready? It's the Christian, because of Christ Jesus' example, when he says here that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, it would be best described as going around this, you, us, we, in this church. I am so tempted to just jump over this podium and do something about it. It's to lift the other person up. It's to get underneath you. Look to the person. Go ahead. Look to the person to your left. Look to the person to your right. Now look. This word means you get down underneath them. Okay? And you lift them up higher than yourself. You give them the bigger slice of the pie. You give them the taller glass. You look at ways to how you might bless them. Listen, church, if the world sees us doing this, if we would get our eyes off of our petty, stupid, little things that say, I think Satan, when he's not having a bad day, he's got to laugh sometimes because he just says, look at those Christians. I've got them just eating and devouring one another while their neighborhood is going to hell right in my mitt. I mean, I'm catching them. They're just falling right down here. While this Christian is all upset at this Christian bickering about things that have no eternal value whatsoever, they're squandering their time. What a crack up! They could be sharing Christ with somebody, but they're so caught up in being right that they're going to fight about this for months, and it could be years. A root of bitterness will grow up in their heart. It's going to defile not only themselves, but many. Oh man, what a day this is. I'm sure Satan has these days. We give him those days. But if we're wronged, what are we to do? If we're wronged, we forgive the person that wronged us. Oh, that's got to upset Satan. Listen, and I can't see very well in here tonight because the lights are right in my eyes. So I don't know if you're here tonight. Whoever you are, you'll know in a moment. But I was talking to you this last week, and there's a situation with a husband and a wife, and she says, listen, I absolutely am fully aware of everything that took place, and I am telling him that I forgive him. And he said, yeah, but this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And she said, do you realize Jesus died for you? This is a husband and wife of 20 years. And she was so direct. Yeah, but I did this. Christ died for this. I'm thinking, gosh, lady, hit him. Let me hit him. Somebody hit him. I mean, she was such an example. She wasn't in denial. She says, if Jesus can forgive me, he can forgive you. There's no sin that you can sin outside his ability to forgive. And I want you to let go of the past and let's get going with the future. And I was like, man. And in the spirit realm, I bet you could hear Satan's tooth getting broken off and a finger getting broken and a wing getting bent. She refused. And she looked to the cross. We know what to do with the truth. Do we do it? Well, he hurt me. What happened? He said this. Did you talk to him about it? No. Then what are you telling me about it for? Because I'm into gossip. You just turn your little self around, you go right back to him, and you deal with it. Satan will destroy you. He'll sterilize you. I mean, I remember when we got our little dog from the pound, the moment we got him home, he ran away. And we got him right back. I mean, we captured, you know, he's only 4 pounds, so it was kind of easy to catch him. And an hour later, ran away again. So we called the vet, and we said, what's the deal? You know, this little guy just keeps running around. And he says, bring him in. I'll make sure he doesn't run around again. And he took his sails right off. And that dog's never left our yard since. It's been 11 years. Remove the distraction. And so many Christians are so caught up. So distracted. Well, they said this about me. Come on, if the truth be known, they said a lot worse about you. Let it go. Jesus laid down his life for us. Who in the world do we think we are that we stand up and say, now look here, you owe me. Boy, yeah, you know, you really hurt me last year or last month or 10 years ago. And some people get on a crusade to drag their friend or spouse through the muck and the mire for the rest of their lives, and they have no idea that they are being used by Satan to sterilize and neuter their Christian power. And you'll never share Christ. In fact, you are more effective for the kingdom of hell alive than if you were dead and in heaven. Because you just spread damage. It's like cancer. Look, every one of us have been hurt. We've all been wronged. Of course, the greatest pain comes in religious circles, spiritual circles. Of course. Many people have been hurt in those areas. I had a woman tell me that she was growing up. First chance she got, she departed as far away from, quote, the church as she could because of being molested by the minister. She heard the word of God, and you know what? She was set free. We've all been wronged. We know what to do with the truth. He's our living example. If there's something that is derailing your walk tonight, anger, bitterness, you're upset, settle it. Fix it now. You have the power to shut the door on Satan's face. This week, a translator, he said, do you remember me? And I said, I remember your face. I don't remember your name. And he gave me his name. And he said, I met you 3 years ago. It was Sunday, thus and such a date. He knew the very date. This is kind of scary, you know. He's got my attention at this point. He said, I met you. He said, you were flying from Russia and you had a layover in Frankfurt, and so you drove to Siegen and you did the Sunday morning service that morning. And you were only there for a short few hours, and you were on a plane again and on your way home. You, in that service with my three friends, you were sitting there as the worship group was playing, and when someone said in the group, turn and greet one another, you turned and you greeted me. I had never been to church in my life, and I didn't know God. He said, before this trip comes to an end and you go back home, I want you to know something. After the service, you talked with my friends about evolution. And I said, I do remember this now. I do. And he said, I gave my heart to Christ at the end of our argument. And he said, I'll never forget that day. Now, this is amazing. He said, it wasn't so much the argument for creation and design versus evolution and accidents. He said that there was a spirit behind the truth that was being given, that I knew was real. And he said, since that time, my life is changed. And I want you to know that you were the first Christian, and you led me to the Lord in your message that morning. And I'm really happy to be here. We were on the streets translating and reaching people together, and I had no idea until the night that we left that this man had come to faith in Jesus because of the truth that each one of us possess if we're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the love of God, real love. The world is dying for it. They're dying for it. To touch someone without any fear for them not having any fear, to sit with them or to pray with them, to cry with them, to hold them, to labor with them, no fear. It's just free. That's a great way to live. I hope you know it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, where the Apostle John writes of at least one way the true believer can show genuine love for fellow believers. The title, Knowing Real Love. Knowing Real Love is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, written by the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, can you do us a little favor? If you are a regular Real Radio listener, would you tell Pastor Jack? He loves reading those words of encouragement. He really does. Visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on Radio Reaction. That'll take you to a page where you can type in your message right to Pastor Jack. You can also read what other folks have written like this. I so enjoy listening to Pastor Jack explain the Bible in a way that can be understood by all. I enjoy his humor. God bless him in his work. Pray for the salvation of my husband. Thank you. That comes from Carol. And believe me, Carol, we will pray for the salvation of your husband. Thanks again, Carol, and be sure to tell a friend about Real Radio. Go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click Radio Reaction. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.